Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for a Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
Have you, the Brady City Council meeting last night, a momentous meeting because this was the meeting when you finalize approval of the budget.
True.
The tax rate and the fees and something you spend 6 months working on and it gets here and it's finished now and takes effect 1st of October. Is that?
That's true.
So it's about time.
It is just in time. But before we talk about that, we had a work session at 4 o'clock for a couple of hours, and we got a presentation from Grant Works, the organization that works grants for us. Mm-hmm. And they made their presentation, a few questions, clear things up, and they're working a number of things for us. Then we talked about the police and fire EMS facilities, the plan for those who haven't heard it before would be to take the old cafeteria there on 11th Street and convert that into the new police station, and then to take the old police station, do some pretty extensive modifications of that and make that the new fire EMS facility. So we had discussed that a lot, worked through it, and I'll talk more about it at the talking about the council meeting. Lots of discussion, of course, no action as of the work session in terms of decisions made. And then we started the city council meeting at 6 p.m., and started with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance, like always. No public comments, largely because there was no public there to watch what was going on at that time. The consent agenda covered three items: approval of minutes from the previous council meeting on the 7th of September, the St. Patrick's Fall Festival street closure on October the 3rd from 9 to 2:30 there at St. Patrick's, so that they can do the line for folks to go through and pick up meals that are for the fundraiser for St. Patrick's. And then the third item was discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding pardon me, Resolution 2021-23 to request, pardon me again, TxDOT city street closure for the east half of the square for the second annual farm to table fundraiser dinner to be held on October the 16th. No other presentations, no public hearing. So we moved to the pretty long individual concerns that were there. Started with, just as you said, the second and final reading of Ordinance 1326 of the City of Brady to adopt the budget. Just a little north of $51 million. That's not a normal figure for Brady or for any city the size of Brady, but it's big because of the wastewater and the drinking water programs that are ongoing. So all of that falls back in there. That was approved 5-0, very quickly, little discussion. We've been through that a lot of times. And as I said, it was the second reading. So we moved on to item B, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1327 to adopt the property tax rate And as you heard earlier on the program, the discussion about no new revenue with an increase in the appraisal value, we lowered the tax rate from 42.5 cents per $100 to 39 cents, in a little bit further out in the decimal place, but basically 3.5 cent reduction on the property rate doesn't mean your property tax will go up or down. It can kind of depend if you had a significant improvement in the appraised value of your house. You may pay a little more taxes for 2021, and if it didn't change very much, then you'll pay a little less in the tax rate for the property that you have. Passed 5-0. Again, very little discussion. We've been over that a number of times. Item C, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1328 to adopt a fee schedule. A little bit of discussion, but the fee schedule stayed right where it was. A couple of modifications on very minor things, and that passed 5-0 with very little discussion. Item D, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1330 of the City of Brady to amend the 2021 budget for municipal purposes, providing funding to the professional services and fees and construction of the fire EMS and police facilities that we had discussed in our work session. The amount involved was $142,000 that was not in the original budget. We got to the end of the year, and things happening in the financial end of things with a number of areas brought us to $142,000 that was available for spending on the project so we could move ahead on that. The ICON folks will do professional services, engineering and architecture services and fees for the fire EMS for those two facilities. They had presented a number of options as we worked through that in the work session. So fairly quickly decided this was putting the money in the budget so that we could get to the next item. This one passed 5-0. Discussion, consideration, and possible action. Authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with ICON Consulting Group, LLC of Sanger, Texas, for phase one in the amount of $142,000 that we had just put in the budget for architecture and engineering services, as I said, to produce documents that would be bid ready for construction. And then they gave their price to oversee the construction of those two facilities, which will be $55,000. So what happens now is they will work through that, produce the bid documents, we'll bid it out, and then they'll oversee that. And right now, there's not really a forecast on the date. That'll depend on the bidders on when those facilities will be finished, and which one goes first, that sort of thing. Next item was item F, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the recommendation for the new FM 2028 elevated storage tank. If you've been out to the lake, you've seen that tank externally is all complete. It'll get painted the light brown color that the other storage tanks are there, and then in darker brown letters, it'll say Brady That is all part of the bid that exists out there. We may add the Brady logo, the Texas with the heart in the middle of it sometime in the future, but this was covered in the original contract, and so we'll complete that. It'll say Brady on the east and west sides of that tank. That passed 5-0. Item G, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding resolution 2021-21 to accept the delivery of the coronavirus local facility recovery funds, also known as ARPA, the American Recovery Plan Act money that was there to the tune of $1,313,700 and some dollars that was provided through the complicated process of figuring out, based on population, the amount of money that we would get as one of the cities with a population of less than 50,000. So big cities got a fixed amount from the Treasury. Counties got a fixed amount from the Treasury, but the cities below 50,000, that about $3.5 billion, I believe it was given to the state of Texas, and Texas allocated that based on the population and their approach. A lot of discussion on all the strings attached to that money. In fact, right now in our bank account, we have $650,000 and a little bit in the bank account that was given to us through the Texas Department of Emergency Management. That money will sit there as we decide whether to sign the documents and officially take the money. Again, there's some wording in the strings attached to that money that causes some of the council members a lot of concern. And as we look at it more closely, we actually have until December of 2024 to dip into that money. And 6 months a year from now, we will get the rest of the $1.3 million that was allocated to us. We are allowed to put it in a bank account, have it draw interest. The interest is ours, and no requirement to have the money spent until December of 2024. So that discussion will continue as we look at the legal aspects of all that. And a lot of that concern was whether or not the wording put us in a position where it would mandate all of the employees of the city to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. That's the big controversy right now. Some of the others was just concern in the somewhat vague wording that we were turning over the keys to the city, basically, to the federal government, and again, there was some concern about that. So we did not formally accept that money. Although we have it, we can draw interest on it, but we could give it back all the way up to, and as a matter of fact, any money in that you don't spend by December 2024, you have to give back anyway. So that will be an ongoing discussion in that most cities, according to GrantWorks, they're associated with looking into that, and the discussion with our city attorney, almost every city has accepted the money, and we're just being cautious right now. Last item on the individual concerns was discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding approval of Resolution 2021-22 to suspend the recalculation of sewer averaging for fiscal year 2022 residential sewer billing. Now, what all that means is to get it, because there's no meter on the sewer, what the city has done for many years is they look at the water usage of December, January, and February. And based on that usage, when you expect that most people are not watering their lawns and doing other things with the water, and the expectation that that water goes down the drain, that sets the value or the amount of sewer that is charged to the folks. There was some discussion that because of the February freeze and potential busted pipes and water flowing, that would create some anomalies for some people that had pipe problems. And so the wastewater billing was being considered to say, well, let's just freeze it and use the same amount of wastewater usage from the previous year. And as we went through the discussion, the normal operation that we do is we continue on from the previous year anyway, and then with our capabilities with the new water meters, we can see an anomaly. So we would be able to identify if somebody was using a lot more water than usual in January, February, or December, January, and February. And with that, they would go back and take a look at it. If they confirmed that there was some unusual use, they would go back to the previous year on it anyway. And so it was really unnecessary to do that. So that resolution did not pass for lack of a motion on that. Then we moved on to staff reports. No, there were no questions by the council on the staff reports that had been given to us earlier through all of the different agencies and support facilities that we have for the city. We looked at upcoming special events and regular council meetings on the first and third Tuesdays of each month at 6 o'clock. Last night we met in the Civic Center to provide more room for folks that might come to the meeting and give them more room to spread out. We were pretty much in the same relative positions on the council that we were before, but we wanted to give more opportunity, and we'll kind of play that by ear. Mm-hmm. So folks need to be looking, and we'll be advising everybody whether we're going to meet in the Civic Center or back in the municipal courtroom there next to the police station. In October, of course, Columbus Day, we still have that on our schedule, regardless of what some other cities are doing and denying that Columbus was a good person, I guess. We, on the 11th of October, city offices will be closed, and that alters the class schedule. So I think the Monday, Tuesday get moved back one day in that. The Veterans Day, of course, is on November the 11th. City offices will be closed and altered class or trash schedule on that one, too. Thanksgiving will be a holiday for the city, offices being closed on November the 25th. As part of that, we got all that done by 6:56. We took a break until 7:20 to get a bite to eat, since we at that point we'd been there for 3 hours over the mealtime. And then we convened in the executive session, and we met on two things, pursuant to Section 551.074, Personnel Matters. I'll read the whole thing to you here. The City Council will meet to deliberate, appoint, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline or dismissal of a public officer or employee, specifically City Manager Dennis Jobe, duties under the City Charter. Doesn't mean we're going to do all of those things. We are just by law required to read all of that before we go into executive session, and then when we come out of executive session, take any action that needs to be taken in the open session. The second one was pursuant to 551.072, deliberations about real property. City Council will deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property of the city as deliberations in an open meeting might have detrimental effect on the position of the city in negotiations with a third person, and specifically fire, EMS, and police facilities. That was theirs, a placeholder in case we decided in our after our discussion in the work session and during the council meeting that we might look for property outside property that was already owned by the city. Mm-hmm. It turned out that we didn't need to do that. We're just moving things around on the property that the city owns. And so that became kind of a moot point. There was no discussion on that one. But back to the city manager in item A, the city manager announced that he would retire on the 28th of October of this year. And so that generated a lot of discussion in the executive session that is privileged information about what we were going to do about that. We finished at 8:13, so we spent 53 minutes talking about the city manager thing, and came out and announced that there was no action to be taken on either item on the executive session, and then we closed the council meeting at 8:15. Progress or the steps that we'll go through now with the city manager's position is we will start as we have time to advertise for a new city manager. Certainly the assistant city manager, Erin, will be part of that if she elects to be, if she applies for the job. And we will also use TML services to potentially look for an interim city manager that could come in and take a good look at everything and kind of coach Erin some more on being the city manager as we do our search and our selection of a new city manager. Erin's been the assistant city manager, I believe, for about a year, doing great work. But we're just looking potentially a little more seasoning and giving her a better chance to be successful by giving her a little more experience and a little more mentoring from a different city manager rather than Dennis Jobe. Not that Dennis was not a good city manager. He certainly was. And he and Erin both were going through the city manager's course that TML provides while they were doing the job. And this will just give us a good chance to look at everything in the city kind of take a good spin at it, maybe update the comprehensive plan for the city, and then select a new city manager after Dennis leaves on the 28th of October.
Okay. To go back to one issue you were talking about, to recap, maybe I just to make sure I
okay.
we all understand. The plans for the new facilities for fire, EMS, and police are, the plan is to relocate the police department offices to the old South Ward cafeteria, basically.
Yes.
The plan is to relocate the fire and EMS that is currently on, what is it,
Commerce Street.
To where the municipal building is now, where the
with some pretty extensive modification.
Okay.
Just to talk about the process a little bit, in the work session, ICON came to us and said, "Okay, we ask ICON to take a good look at that and talk about the different options that might be there." We had designed a joint police fire station out in the area. Let me get my directions straight. Southeastern corner kind of the area at G. Raleigh White complex out there. And that came through at $8 million or something in that ballpark. Some time ago, and we felt like we couldn't afford that. So we wound up keeping them where they were. And as we looked for other options, I kind of presented and said, okay, if you want a high quality facility, you can build two facilities, which would take up about 2,000, let me get my decimal place in the right place, 20,000 square feet. If you combined them, you could save about 400 square feet and 4,000 and do it with about 1,600. So they looked at that in the discussion, where would you put it, how would you do it, and they had a cost per square foot, and that came mm-hmm. out to $4.5 million, different than the one that we had designed before out there for G. Raleigh White. Then they looked at a quality, but not the top of the line, and that was still north of $3 million to do that. The discussion was, what's the benefit if the structure, the basic structure, is still good? It was built at a time that the standards were a little bit tougher, and the decision was that to go ahead and modify the facilities at the cafeteria and the facilities at the current police station, that would provide us a structure that would last just as long, and we already had the plans for the modifications of those locations from the work that ICON had done up to this point. The first thing you may ask yourself, why move the police station where it is to the cafeteria and modify that building, and then turn around and move the fire department and EMS folks to the police station and modify that? The answer is the police station as it stands needs to be replaced. So it needs modification. The police facility can fit, and the police chief is quite pleased with the plans to go to the new cafeteria. The fire EMS could not fit on that piece of ground.
Right.
So it will go, and there's still some flexibility in exactly the modifications that will be done in the police station. Maybe a lot of people don't realize that at one point some of the fire apparatus was located on the back end of the police station where it is.
Yeah.
And there's more ground and there's more opportunity, and there may be some consideration for closing either the street on the south side of the police station or on the west side of the police station, closing a block of it and using that to build. The challenge that exists in the existing police station is it's on a hill, and the elevation changes a bit for everything that's there. So when you're looking for a drive-through bay for some of the fire apparatus, the different elevations create some challenges, but they believe they have solved that problem. I don't have in front of me the estimated cost to do that. I can get that in another time for you, but it's considerably cheaper than building new facilities at new locations and then still having
Is there a time frame that you're thinking of that the plans now look?
Right now, the engineering and architecture getting all of their stuff ready for the bidding process. No estimate was made. Mm-hmm. My estimate, based on experience, would be that it'll take a couple of months for them to get to that. And then as you go through the bidding process, a number of months there, and before you could even accept a bid, more than 6 months,
yeah.
less than a year kind of time frame, and then to move along with that. It's an advantage since they're not just swapping facilities. We could do the police station first and get them done, and then do the fire department and to move them into the slot that was there, so that was vacated by the police. So that's the plan right now. A lot of interest, a lot of focus from the council, and a lot of good work from ICON. One of the reasons we chose ICON, and one of the reasons that their services are going to be a lot less expensive, is they had done the original design on the facility out at G. Raleigh White,
mm-hmm.
and they had looked in the past at modifications of the facilities. So they had a lot of it done already. I think the police building at the old cafeteria location is a little bit more firm as we decide where the bays may be for the fire station, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well.
So that's a really long answer to say I don't know when those things are going to be finished.
Well, we have enough projects underway. Water, wastewater, those moving ahead?
Yes. We're still quibbling with the Federal Aviation Agency about putting the elevated storage tank out there at the airport on that plot of land between 377 and the main hangar and operations center there at the airport. And that's going to be focused on selling that little plot of land to back to the city. And it not being part of the airport anymore, and then we can finish what we're doing. The water tower was not on the master plan. The elevated storage tanks were not forecast to be finished for almost a year from now.
Yeah. Okay.
So it it messes with the schedule a little bit. It creates a little bit of problems for us, but we're working those problems and trying to get that approval. And you wouldn't believe the whole long story about why it's taken so long to get all of that squared away at the airport.
I think you
COVID
started.
Is a play, yeah. Cancer of a key person in that, not employed by the city, is part of that. There aren't a bunch of things going on with finishing that part of it while we work on other things and go through that. I do not know. It does not show up on the schedule specifically when the old water tower comes down.
It's going to ask you about that.
But of course, it's an integral part of the system. So until we get a functional capability without that tower, it'll stay there. So it's not coming down in the immediate future for certain.
No time soon.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, Mayor, we appreciate your time and effort here.
I've got one more update for you.
Okay.
Asking a lot of people asking me questions since I sell tickets at the movie theater.
Yes.
About the status. And the answer right now is the historical movie theater, 501c3, got a grant from the G. Raleigh White Complex that will allow us, if we choose, to buy a new laser projector and have it installed and get it operational. Recently, the possibility of an older system that's functional is available. So we're looking at, it's not our first choice, but should that be available a lot sooner and be fully functional and compatible with our system, we might consider buying that one. And then what we did longer term with a laser projector would be a different consideration. The overwhelming votes right now is let's not even think about an older one. Let's get the laser one and get it in. The timeline on when that would be available is not known at this point. So the short answer to when is the theater going to be back is it's uncertain, but we have the finances to do it. And now it's a matter of getting that projector and getting it installed based on all the other things that are going on mm-hmm. in the world with COVID and chip shortages and everything else. And the decision with the older projector option.
Okay.
No news is no news at this point.
It's positive because the prospect is out there of getting it resolved and having the movies come back. It's just when.
Yep.
This is sort of up in the air.
And it is certainly the focus of the theater board to get it back and get it as functional as quickly as we can. Everybody wants to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Brady Mayor Tony Groves with us this morning here on the morning program. Good to have him with us.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio podcasts, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.